2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord, our great God of heaven, the Holy One, our Almighty, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day of fellowship, a beautiful day of gathering, a beautiful day, O Lord, where we all stand together as the congregation of the Lord, the family of God, washed thoroughly by the blood of the Lamb, united by the Spirit of the Lord, to understand his agape love, to understand the grace that we received, to understand the mercy that we received, to understand the vision the Spirit had given to all of us to walk by faith. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being merciful to all of us. Lord, may you bless us to be strong, to be courageous, to be brave, to have the boldness to utter thy greatness in our life, to utter thy testimony in our life, to utter the words of life, blessed by the Spirit of the Lord, deeply the call that we all listen from the very deep of our heart, that we are yours. Lord, help us, Lord. Bless us that we all find strength in grace that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, you bless all of us to find life that was hid in Christ Jesus. And Lord, today, O Lord, as we are about to eat the word of life, the bread of life, may you bless us to find strength in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, to live a life where we can touch the souls through your grace, where we can touch one another through the agape love, where we can touch the lives around us by the life of Christ, by the love of Christ, by the revelation of Christ, by the work of the living word that is working effectively deep inside all of us, the path of the word that is waiting for the manifestation according to the good time of the Lord, the appointed time of the Almighty. May you guide all of us to be always, always under the perfect will of you, O Lord. There is no other great thing that can happen to us other than the perfect will in which we are all perfect in Christ. Guide us, Lord. Help us. Bless us. Teach us. Punish us as we go through this process, a beautiful journey of perfection. Be with us, Lord. Help us to stand firm, to endure everything that is thrown against us. For the solid rock is stronger than any other stone. For the foundation is mightier than any other adversary. May you bless all of us to stay inside the new holy city, Jerusalem. To be surrounded by thy prison of love, by the wall of fire. To be rooted in your agape love. May you bless all of us to be fruitful. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we surrender the sermon, we surrender our hearts, we give all our best to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. Shalom, dear brethren. God bless you all. Greetings to you all, our dear overseas brethren. We praise the Lord for today in our lives. How important is to understand the importance of today. I hope you all slept last night. Even if it is 1 hour, 2 hours, you all slept and you woke up today. Amen. But your brain started from where it was stopped last night, right? Your memories, your actions, your thoughts, your state of mind continues from where it was left before you slept. Then during your sleep, you don't know your name. You can't remember your loved ones. You are nothing but a dead body waiting to rise, waiting to wake up. The Lord has put this subtle way of teasing all of us. You live and die. You live and die every single day. Whatever we learn, you can't remember when you sleep. Amen. For me, I always take this sleeping process as a way of humbling myself, that I am dead for 8 hours and the Lord allowed me to open my eyes to breathe again on that particular day. For that reason, today is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. There are many who get to sleep, but they don't get to wake up. I have two grandfathers who died when they were sleeping. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful death. No pain, no sorrow. But it's not that death that we are all looking for. We are not looking for something to end in a peaceful way. We are not looking for something to help us to walk in a comfortable way. That is not the narrow way. That will never be the narrow way. Amen. We are here to grow in our faith, for what is about to come is not something easy for you, for me, for any of us to handle if we don't grow in what the Lord wants us to grow. The Lord has given us the revelation of His sufferings, of His sacrifice, of His agape love. That is the beautiful understanding of the revelation that we receive, that He is our Lord, He is our life, He is our Creator, He is the only Savior. But over time, you know what happens to our mind? We harden our understanding to the extent that, yes, I believe Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my Master, there is only one God, one Savior, that is my truth, that is my revelation, that is how I separate myself from the filthy group of denominations, from the filthy group of heathen gods, from the filthy group of unbelievers. No, it is not your revelation. The revelation is not given to us to feel ourselves alive, feel ourselves separated, to feel ourselves we are good, we are strong, we are more wiser than those who are fools in the darkness. No, that is not the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of the Lord whom you serve is to be willing to be destroyed for someone's sake whom you don't even know. The revelation of the Savior that we all received is to be like Moses, who put his life on the line to save the life of Israel, although he did nothing wrong, but still he embraced all the wrongdoings of his congregation. That is the revelation of Jesus Christ. But what we do? We understand, we learn, then we feel we have gained a trophy. We have gained something that others don't have. Do you know it is the mentality of the richest people in the world? They don't want to have something others can easily get. They want to go and bid for billions of dollars to buy even a piece of white paper if you can prove this white paper is not held by anyone in this world. They'll go all for it. If you tell them in all the places, beautiful places of the earth, all the normal people, poor people, average family, they all go and visit. Oh, is that so? Then let me travel to Mars. I want to step into a place where nobody can say I was there. It is the life of pride. It is a life of being full of pride to feel that I am better. I am someone wiser. I am someone good. It's not the revelation of Jesus Christ. See how Apostle Paul speaks of himself. The servants of God, the vessels of God, they give us the glimpse of how a vessel which is filled up to the brim by the Holy Ghost speak, behave, live and handle its life every single day. Let me ask you all a question. Don't answer, but meditate. After David did something against the will of God, which is not good in the sight of God, God sent prophet Nathan to speak to him. Amen? Before that, do you remember, David was speaking to God. The Bible says David inquired the Lord whether he can go for the battle or not. David asked the Lord whether I can do this or not. David was asking the Lord for every single thing, although he was a mighty king with a huge army of soldiers, all the weapons. Even for a little battle, David talked to the Lord, asked him, can I go? Is it under your will? Do you allow me to do this? Do you allow me to do that? Ask yourself, the God who was speaking to David, the servant of God, David, who was speaking to God, why God sent Nathan to speak to David? Why God did not speak to David? A vessel who was able to speak to God, because David was a prophet. Amen? What is the definition of prophet, my brethren? Being filled by the Spirit of the Lord and uttering the words as the Spirit leads. It is prophecy. Because the Spirit speaks the truth. The Spirit of truth. It shall come to pass. Whatever that is spoken concerning about to happen. For you and me it is future. But for the Spirit it is done. Can the Holy Spirit say, I am going to do tomorrow? For there is no tomorrow for the Spirit. He is. He was. He will ever be. I am that I am. The Alpha and Omega. Amen. When the eternity, the eternal Holy Spirit, when things that our mind cannot contain, it's like a glass of, a simple glass of cup cannot contain the whole ocean. You can't, because it can only carry what it can hold. When the Lord said, my grace is sufficient to thee, he said, I know the length, the breadth and the width of you as a vessel. I can fill up to the brim, which is just nice for you to survive from what is about to come. But during this journey, we have to be very careful of what the Lord revealed to us. Day by day, we should become more and more and more yielding to the extent that you don't even feel yourself. You feel nothing but the creation of Him. You feel nothing about yourself, but your life is completely under the overshadowed bright cloud of His grace. Then we say, it's Christ in me. It's Christ in me. I'm conforming to the image because I can see I was like this last year. This year, the same storm came. The same adversary came. The same problem came. But I felt different. I could deal with it with blessed assurance in my heart. I could deal with it with peace and rest without losing the joy of the Lord. Then you can say, something happened. And yes, I know. He touched me. If you want to know the Lord touched you, you can go to the mirror and see how your life is changing day by day. How you behave, how you handle, how you live a life where people can see Jesus Christ in you. Is it easy? Is it tough? It's not the both. It's all about the Lord who sheweth mercy, known only to Him. So I want all of us to be like the empty vessels of God, where the Lord decides how much He will fill, what He fill, when He will fill. Let the potter decide. Amen? Let the Creator decide. It's called perfect will. The revelation of Jesus Christ is helping people to grow in His faith, to grow, become more humble, to grow, become like Him. At the same time, the revelation of Jesus Christ is also confounding those who do not yield to Him. Because God do not have two swords. He has only one sword. Only one. But that sword is double-edged sword. Amen? Double-edged sword. The word double-edged sword is a beautiful representation of light can only be understood when there is a darkness. Correct? How can I say there is light if you can, all you can see is only white, bright sight all around you? If there is a darkness, then you can see, oh, there is light. If there is death, then you can see, oh, this is my life. If there is someone who takes you as a slave, then you can see my Savior, my Redeemer. Resurrection has no place if there is no death in the first place. Amen? Let's be very careful of the revelation that has been given to us. We must hold it with all our hands, all our might, all our heart, all our soul, and understand how beautiful it is, what has been given to us, which people are searching everywhere else. May the Lord guide us. He came for the sick. People forget that. Once we get healed, we want to remain healed. And we want to be in a flock of healed people to remain as we are precious brethren of same faith. Then who will preach the gospel to those who are still not to be healed? Then who will preach the gospel to those who are looking for a helping hand, who are looking for an outstretched arm, who are looking for a sign of the love of Christ? And the Lord said, I am looking for someone to stand in the gap. I found none. If we are not filled by the Spirit, the Lord's word will always remain true. He finds none. Only the vessels that are filled by the Spirit, He can find Himself in you. By doing so, He can help you to stand in the gap for Him. That is the understanding of that powerful verse. No one can stand in the gap for the Almighty unless the Almighty is in you. No one can turn away the wrath of God unless the grace of God is in you. Unless the love of God is in you, stands between Him and His wrath, and the Lord sees Himself in you and counsels with you. That's exactly what Abraham did. That's exactly what Moses did. That's exactly what Stephen did. When God is in us, we will have the pure understanding of the revelation that is given to you, that is given to me, that is given to us as a congregation of the Lord. That is where we are meditating on the wrath of the Lord, where things go wrong, how things may go wrong, and how can you yourself fool yourself, and how the walls that is guarding your heart can be penetrated, broken by having some blind spot in your life, which is called ignorance. In spiritual, we always call everything as lack of understanding. Everything that disturbs your faith, that makes you not being able to offer yourself to the fullest, it's called lack of understanding. Everything that makes us to be a sweet aroma to the Lord in His presence, to be able to live a life that is under His perfect will, is called understanding. True understanding is the truth revealed to you, revealed to me, revealed to the church, revealed to the fellowship, revealed to the congregation of the Lord by the Spirit of the truth. Amen. Last Sunday, we were reading how Ezra was addressing people. Those who could understand, they heard the word that was read. Amen. Those who could understand, they could say, Amen, praise the Lord. Those who could understand, they obeyed the word of God, and the place was sanctified, consecrated, and the Lord was glad. We are traveling with Hezekiah on one hand and Nehemiah on another hand, because both of their lives teaching us how the Lord equipped them, edified them, strengthened them at the time of adversity, at the same time how the Lord dealt with things that he hate. The Lord told all of us, don't hate anyone. It is scripture. But the Lord called all of us, hate things that I hate. Philippians chapter 4, we read about the six things that we must keep on thinking. Amen? Philippians chapter 4, from verse 1 all the way to verse 9. The six things that we must keep on thinking. Whatsoever six things, right? Let's read those six things as we will continue again to look at what happened to Nehemiah, how his story ended in the Bible. Last Sunday we stopped at chapter 13. We have one more chapter to complete the work of the Lord in the life of Nehemiah. Before that, let's read Philippians chapter 4. Okay, I will read from verse 7. That's better. Chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 7, we have to stop here for a moment, that every single story in the Bible, every blessed inspiration that you receive, do not keep yourself far away from that inspiration. It's always personal. The word of God is very intimate. It talks to you, to your heart. For instance, how do you read Sanballat, Sennacherib went against the servants of God? How do you read? If you simply read this as a story of Hezekiah, Nehemiah, you will be standing far away and just witnessing the lessons and the beautiful, blessed inspiration from that story. But the Bible does not want us to be far away. We should be inside the tabernacle, like Joshua. Amen? The way we should read is, your heart must be guarded against all the adversary. Amen? And those adversary can be yourself, your flesh, your carnal, your mind, your pride. You are the biggest threat to your own life. Second, all those things that you face in your life, health issues, sickness, financial problem, people who are so much against you in the workplace, even people who are in end time, but they want to fight with you, confront with you. All that are throwing stones, which has no life, is adversary. Amen? Even a Bible verse can be taken by the enemy. Without life, the enemy can use it throughout your head. That's how he tempted Jesus. Oh, it is said in the Bible. This is how the word of the Lord says. The word of the Lord can only be uttered by those who are part of his word. Remember this. The spirit of the Lord can only be understood by those who are in his spirit. There are billions and trillions of copies sold throughout the world. Everybody is carrying the same Bible. But when someone reads a chapter, if that person is filled with the spirit of the Lord, then those words must be heard in heaven. But those who read it for the sake of reading it, like how it is being done in all the heathen places, high tables, whatever you call it, not the altar, it's nothing but noise. It's nothing but noise. But the Lord is looking for his faithful. He's reaping the souls from every single corner of the world. Remember that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen? We can learn from the life of Hezekiah and Nehemiah how the Lord dealt with things that he hate. It's not about the people. It's never about the people. His souls are redeemed, done. Now, if the Lord wants all of us to guard our heart and our minds through Christ Jesus, amen? The same chapter tells us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, amen? Now, read this again. Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. We should read and study and understand what this chapter, what this lesson, even what this song is preaching to me, how I should guard my heart and how I should guard my mind. The wall that surrounds, that shields your heart is Him. The wall, the protection, the shield that surrounds your mind is Him. You are called to have the mind of Christ by loving Him from the bottom of your heart. Amen. The Lord says, give your heart, I will give you my mind. Give your heart unto Him, He will wash, sanctify, consecrate your mind to have the mind of Christ. Then you can see, you can discern, you can be able to face all the things that are against your wall, that are coming against to break the wall, but it cannot penetrate if you have the mind of Christ. We can't simply say, I want to love the Lord all my heart. That's it. Oh, in my mind, I feel so angry. I'm so disturbed. I'm so distracted. Something is wrong. The scripture says, guard your minds, guard your hearts, through Christ Jesus Christ. I took the lessons from Nehemiah and Hezekiah very personal. I put myself as a city. I put my heart as that city. I put my mind as that city to understand how the Lord blessed me by the benefits, the blessings that I should not forget. He sealed, He protected, He built the wall on His appointed time, in His grace period, so that I won't be destroyed by the enemies. Your life is preserved by the life. Amen? The life can only be preserved by the life. He is the life, the way, the truth, and the light. Now let's ask ourselves, what are the Sennacherib that I have in my life? What are the Sanballat I have in my life? Don't just put everything on some third party, third person. That's what Eve did. That's what Adam did. Eve said, it is a serpent. Adam said, it is a woman. But Adam realized, I should take full responsibility. Took it. If Moses said to the Lord, oh yes, that golden calf, I know who did it. You know, this group of guys, along with Aaron, they did this, Lord. If Moses had said that, on that day, no lives would have been left on that wilderness. God would have burnt everything. But God knows He is in Moses. And Moses is a vessel of God. And Moses fulfilled the will of God by standing in a place where God cannot send His wrath. He turned His wrath away. By what? By the agape love of Him. The only thing that turned away the wrath of God is the agape love of Him. Because both are same. It's like, if you take a magnet, by which principle the whole earth is hanging in the space, magnetism, levitation. North Pole cannot attract. It ripples, eh? It ripples. It ripples, right? The agape love of God cannot attract the wrath of God. It ripples. But both are same on the other side. If you turn it, it becomes attached so strong. Can't separate. You can't separate. On one side, you are encouraged, touched, healed, comforted by the love of God. On the other side, whenever you try to go out, He will hit you. He will punish you. He will chasten you. He will break your leg so that the sheep will never run away from the flock. Both are same. It's all about which line you cross. If you cross a line where you need a strike, blessed be the name of the Lord. It is better to be hit by Him rather than to be welcomed by the world. So now, I want all of us to go very personal, very intimate, as we are going to unfold what happened to Nehemiah and Hezekiah and how it benefits your mind, how it benefits your heart. After that, think about your family. After that, think about the place that you are part of, a fellowship, a congregation. Because the word of the Lord can go from the whole world, His generation, the city, the temple, the congregation, but if you keep on, go down, the double-edged sword will stop at the very deep of your very own heart. Every single mistake of what we read in the Bible, even by the enemies, even by the servants of God, must pierce your heart to the very deep, so that the Lord can split your thoughts and intents and clean it and wash it to keep yourself ready as a chamber which is cleansed for the Spirit to dwell in. Let's take the Bible very personal. Amen? Very personal. You should put yourself as Sennacherib. Don't you dare to think I'm always Hezekiah. You should put yourself in every single name that you see in the Bible to see where you stand. The scripture is given to us to see that we stand. Amen? So that our feet is rooted on the word of God. Your mind will always pull you to, hey, you are a son of God. You are a child of God. Don't just try to dishonor yourself by having some wrong comparison. Don't do that. Every single name, Tobiah, Shemaiah, Eliashib, Nehemiah, Eliakim, all the names, put yourself in their shoes. Understand what happened to them. What is happening to you. Reason with the Lord who always wants to have a conversation with you. He told Job, be a man. I'm going to ask you, you're going to answer me. Amen? Be a man. What does it mean? I created you. Be the creation of me. Then you will be upright. Why upright? 2 Timothy chapter 3, when we were reading the verse, it said, those who are having a form of godliness, they that creep into houses, creep, not walk, creep into houses. And that verse is beautifully unfolded very deeply in the life of Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 30, we will go there. Now, we are going to read the 6 things before we continue the journey. I want all of us to have this etched in our mind, in our heart. Those 6 things. Because if you read these 6 things, you should remember all the servants of God, they are all part of the word. Amen? So the manifestation of the word, the revelation of what we receive by the God, by God in a spirit, you can see it in their lives. Amen? Good report, true, honest, sincerity, love, all those good things you can see in the life of a vessel which survived a wrath. I repeat, which survived a wrath. Things that did not survive his wrath, you can see those things that he hates in Proverbs. The 7 things that he hates, including the abomination. You can see both the words come to fulfillment in the life of God's servants. Now let's read this. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned, received, heard, and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. These 2 verses, 8 and 9, is so deep, it's so beautiful. We should understand the deeper meaning of that verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Then you should go back to this verse. Oh, what are the things? Oh, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep my heart, my mind through Christ Jesus, so that I can be in a state where I'm always thinking about things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, so that my life will be of any virtue, there is praise for my Lord by keep on thinking of these things, meditating over and over again. Now, we are going to go back to Nehemiah to finish that one last step Nehemiah did after the Lord allowed him to clean the chambers. Amen? Let's have a recall. God exposed Eliashib, the priest, who did some evil things with Tobiah. Amen? Chapter 13 is where we left last Sunday. But that time, Nehemiah was not around. The vessel of God was not around when the evil thing was committed by Eliashib, who is called the priest. But remember, the moment you do something against the Lord, you are not a priest, to the Lord. You can still be called as a priest to the world. That's fine. That doesn't matter. That priest performed something in alliance with Tobiah, because Tobiah and Eliashib, they were relatives. Do you remember? They were relatives. Eliashib is a grandfather. His grandson married a daughter from the line of Tobiah and also Sanballat. So they are somehow they are connected. They are related. Now, when this thing was committed, Nehemiah came to the picture. He saw, and the Bible said, he understood the evil thing that Eliashib committed with Tobiah. Amen? Now he threw away all things that belonged to Tobiah to clean the chamber. Because when there is something committed against the Lord by those who were serving the Lord, I told you, it's an abomination. Abomination has no place in the tabernacle, in the temple, in the fellowship, in the congregation, in the church, in the family of God. For God will never ever take it lightly. Because it's profaning his name. Sennacherib can bring some reproach. Oh, this God, don't believe him. He will deceive you. Rabshakeh said this, remember. But to God, they are not his children. Because they don't know him. But what if Hezekiah said the same word to his children, to the people of the God who live in the city? If Hezekiah, who know the Lord, who received the love of God, who understood the Almighty, who experienced how sweet the Lord is, if Hezekiah said this, do you think the Lord would simply take it lightly? It would have been dealt in a different way, the way he dealt the enemies. It's always different. That's why I said, inside the house, abomination. Outside the house, some attack. And the Lord told Hezekiah, don't worry, not even a single arrow reached the wall. He said, not even a single arrow will reach the wall. None. The angel of the Lord smote everything, destroyed everything. The book of Ezekiel says, no one can stand in the highway of holiness, for it is reserved for the remnant. Amen? If these two are the words spoken by the Lord, then why your mind still says, someone is disturbing my faith. Someone is disturbing my spirituality. It's a lie. How can someone can have that much power to go against the Spirit of the Lord to come and disturb you? What is the meaning of do not be a stumbling block to someone's faith? Do you know the meaning? The meaning is, don't stand in my way, for I will destroy you. That is the word the Lord is speaking. Because nobody can stand in the way of someone's faith. Because that faith is called the holy faith, given by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is giving. When the Lord wants to give something to a child, can someone go in between, I'm not letting you give. You will be destroyed. No walls of Jericho can stand against God. No Goliath can't even come into the way of holiness. None. That verse is always misunderstood by denominational Christians. Oh brother, I don't want to disturb the spirituality. Come on, take a moment. Reflect upon yourself. Nobody can disturb the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord tells, is a warning to you. Don't you dare to go in the house of the Lord to stand against the children of God. If you try to be a stumbling block to my people who are traveling, it's not you are trying to be a stumbling block. You are going to build a wall of death for you that you can't see me. The Bible says the solid rock is always compared to a stumbling stone of those who are against the way of holiness. Amen? Book of Ezekiel is so deep, so beautiful. That is exactly what happened in the life of Moses, in the life of Hezekiah, the life of Nehemiah, and what we read from the life of Aaron as well. Even the two sons who were against the Lord, who were burned by the Lord in the altar, could not do anything to Aaron. Do you remember? You might be seeing it differently. Oh, like a father, how much pain, how much suffering Aaron was going through. True. But my brethren, Sennacherib was killed by his two sons. Aaron was not even to be touched by his two sons. Prophet Eli, he lost all things because of his two sons. But Aaron, he did not. Three fathers, Sennacherib, Aaron, Eli. Three fathers, right? Look at the life of these three fathers. And look at the life of those two sons of each father. And how the Lord dealt them. For one, two sons died in the battle, right? For one, two sons burnt because they did something not acceptable in the altar of the Lord, and the Lord burned them. And for one, the two sons were not burnt, not killed by the Lord. But the Lord let them stay alive because you don't know them in Him. They don't know Him in Him. But those two sons killed the father. Other two sons brought shame to the father. But the death of two sons, still the honor of Aaron was untouched. You see the power of obedience, the power of willingness, the power of being the part of the word can do even to a high priest or Aaron who lived his life as the priest by doing all things for the Lord. But still the Lord did not show grace and mercy to his very own sons. God told Moses, you will be like a God to Aaron. I will put my word in your mouth, you will put your word in his mouth. Amen? Aaron was a spokesperson for the children of Israel, to Pharaoh and for everything. Even after doing all of this, God still went and burned his two sons. What we say, my Lord is so forgiving. He always forgives me. I can do and do it again and again and again. Remember this, what God did. That is the God whom we serve. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. The grace of God should never be misunderstood against the wrath of God. The mercy of God should never be misunderstood against the love of God. All the same for the Almighty. Now with this understanding, let's continue. Nehemiah chapter 13. We left when Nehemiah cleansed the chamber. He commanded to all to clean the chambers. Amen? Because the Lord uncovered the nakedness of a priest who opened a door for Tobiah, all the storerooms, he made the place filthy. And Nehemiah knew what exactly he needs to do. So remember this, outside the walls, the angel cleansed. Amen? All those enemies making noise, trying to throw this and that, but nothing touched the wall. Angel cleansed the floor, outside the wall. Inside the wall, who cleansed the floor? When there is a vessel of God, in which the Spirit of God is resting, you are the angel of God. The Lord used Nehemiah to clean the floor. The Lord used Moses to clean the camp. And the Lord used His servants to do His will whenever it was supposed to be in that way. But whenever He don't want His children to have dirty blood in their hands, He just opened the earth, sent the fire, sent the angel, or sometimes He just turned the reproach on their own head. Right? So, what are the different types that we saw? On one side, King Sennacherib was not touched by the angel of the Lord, not smote by the God, but the two sons whom he gave birth, they grow up, they became strong enough, pride enough to go and kill their own father. It happened. On the other side, the armies were waiting to attack the people of God. There was a word spoken by Prophet Isaiah. That's exactly why the Lord had to destroy them in that way. We remember that verse. Let's turn 2 Chronicles. Let's look at this verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Chapter 32. Let's look at that verse as we go. Chapter 32 is verse 7 and verse 8. Yes. Chapter 32, verse 7, verse 8. 2 Chronicles. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid, nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than him. For there be more with us than him. Greater is he who is in me than in the world. Amen? For there be more with us than him. But what verse 8 says? With him is an arm of flesh. With him is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. This word was spoken. By who? By the king. By the king who spoke to them comfortably, as we read in verse 6. This word was spoken, and true, the angel of the Lord went with his army and destroyed all the armies of the enemy. And to show them, of course, King Hezekiah and the people of God, they have with them more than what may come against them. So exactly what was spoken was fulfilled. Now, six things that are etched in our heart, let's go and apply, because there is a beautiful bridge between the life of Nehemiah and the life of Hezekiah. On one side, wall is being built. On the other side, wall is already built. On one side, enemy could not invade the wall. On the other side, enemy invaded the wall. Let's be very honest. The enemy did invade the wall, because there was a vessel of dishonor who opened his heart for Tobiah to have dominion. The priest. Because of Shemaiah and Eliashib, the abomination entered into the scene. Two. Now let's read. Nehemiah chapter 13. Let's see how the Lord guides Nehemiah to do according to his will. We stop at verse 14. We continue from verse 15. Brother Kerman, please read for us from verse 15 to verse 22.
In those days, I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in cheese and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. Men of Tyre dwelt with it there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What evil thing is this that you do, by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your father do thus? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath." So it was at the gate of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut, and charged that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gates, so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. Now the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. Then I warned and said to them, "Why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you." From that time on, they came no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should go and guard the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of your mercy.
So Nehemiah started functioning as the Lord leads him after certain things are done. The wall was built, nakedness was uncovered, abomination was exposed, and Nehemiah is at work because the Lord has given him a particular task to finish. What is it? To clean the chamber. To clean the chamber. If you read verse 7, it says, "And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the court of the house of God." The very first song that we all sing, "Into the Chamber." Amen. Into the chamber. What is chamber for you? And what is your chamber for him? Who can own your heart? Who can live in your heart? "Into the chamber, and it grieved me so, therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber." This verse 7 and verse 8. And verse 9, "Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers." So three verses. The first one, chamber was polluted by filthiness. Second one, something was thrown out of the chamber. Third one, there was a command given to clean the chambers. Amen. These three. I want us to remember this, because this happened in the life of Nehemiah after the Lord allowed him to finish the work. But for King Hezekiah, this happened before the adversary entered into the scene. Exactly before. And so beautifully in the same way. Cleansing the chamber. After the wall was built, before the wall was built, before the adversary came, after the adversary came. Now, Brother Clement just read from verse 10 to 14 to 22. Now, verse 21, you see, it says, "Then I testified against them and said unto them, Why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you." What? Why Nehemiah says, "I will lay hands on you. If you do it one more again, I will lay hands on you." Before that verse, there was an explanation given concerning merchants selling, buying, right? People are selling and buying, making a mockery of the place. And Nehemiah comes and say this, "I will clean, I will throw everything out, and if you do it again, I'm going to lay my hand on you." Now, verse 20 says, "So the merchants and sellers of all kinds of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice." When our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ entered the temple, when he saw people selling, buying, was he being gracious, merciful to them, continue to sell? The same Lord who told, if someone slap you, show him the other cheek, just tell him, remind him there's one more space that he left. But when something happens in the altar, when something happens in the congregation, when something happens in his house that profanes the presence of the Lord, that profanes the name of the Lord, he went and drove them away. Did he do it for his sake, or did he do it so that you and me won't be destroyed? Think about it. If the Lord is all about himself, you and me would not have been created. It's all about ourselves. When something happens, something that is extremely evil in the sight of the Lord, the wrath of God will destroy it. And the Lord do not want us to be destroyed. It is so powerfully spoken by both Nehemiah and Hezekiah in an explicit way. When Jesus Christ drove things that are not his, so that his children will remain in Jerusalem, will remain protected, there is no invasion, their heart is guarded by the wall, their mind is guarded by the wall, their life is guarded by the wall, and their family is guarded by the wall. Invasion is not acceptable in the sight of whom wants to be the only one who wants to invade your heart, who wants to be in your heart. Amen? Cleaning the chamber is always talking about your heart. First, then you can expand it. My heart, my mind, my life, my loved ones, my family, my parents, my relatives, my friends, my church, my brethren, my gathering, my congregation. Expand it. Then it goes all the way to city, goes all the way to kingdom, it will go all the way to regeneration of earth. Because he is the same yesterday, today, forever. He is the same in your heart, in your mind, for your life, for your loved ones. He is the same. He deals all things in the same manner. That is exactly why we are learning even from the enemies how the Lord behaves, how the Lord speaks, how the Lord shows, how the Lord performs. Because he is who he is. Now, this is what happened in verse 22. Now let's read verse 23. From verse 23 to 26, 27, brother. Verse 23 to 27, please.
"In those days, I also saw Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. And half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod, and could not speak the language of Judah, but spoke according to the language of one or the other people. So I contended with them and cursed them and struck some of them and pulled out their hair, made them swear by God, saying, You shall not give your daughters as wives to their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons or yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations, there was no king like him who was beloved by his God. and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women caused him, even him, to sin. Should we then hear of your doing all this great evil, transgressing against our God by marrying pagan women?
Amen. Thank you, brother. So now, King Nehemiah is speaking. If you read the chapter prayerfully, he speaks about many things, not just about the particular event. He even says, children of Israel lack nothing in the wilderness. That is how the whole first chapter begins. Now he speaks about David, speaks about Solomon. He compares what's happening to our heart, to our life, even to the city of what happened to Solomon, who is the representation of wisdom, amen, in this world, the great king of wisdom. But still Solomon wrote a beautiful book of Ecclesiastes talking about vanity of vanity. He said, you know what? Fear God and keep His commandment. There is nothing we can do in this world. That is how the chapter ends, chapter 12. Now that Solomon is compared to a wise king who became not so wise enough to marry women from different places, clans. It's not just physically to be taken for us, for we are here to learn spiritually. Any thing that the Lord hates is very similar to the woman Solomon married. Anything that the Lord hates, it is very similar to the wife of Potiphar who was trying to sleep with Joseph. Because the garment of you can't be seen by the world. All the enemy can do is throw inks everywhere, assuming that somehow your garment will be stained, trying to hit you in your flesh, in your carnal, in your mind. Even the pride, ego, unforgiveness, lack of understanding, we can compare all of this to those things that made the servants of God to fall. Could be a man, could be a beast, could be a woman, could be anything. That's why I'm saying thing doesn't have to be something, a person. It's a thing. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's a thing. Something. Nothing but vanity. But still that thing can make you into a vanity. Now, this comparison is unfolded to who? The priest. Verse 28. And one of the sons of Jehoiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was the son-in-law of Sanballat the Horonite. The son of Jehoiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore, I chase him from me. I chase him from me. Listen and receive the understanding spiritually. Forget about the flesh and blood. Think about things. I chase him away from me. Things that would dishonor the courts of the house of the Lord, Nehemiah had to chase it away. He said, Lord, I want you to come and dwell in my heart. It is your court. Then you must chase things away that are not pleasing to his sight. It is your duty. What is the definition of it? Deny yourself. Now let's continue. Remember them, oh my God, because they have defiled the priesthood. All the chapter, Nehemiah was keep on telling, remember me, oh God. Remember every single chapter, he was like, oh, remember me. Remember me, Lord, remember me for your goodness, for your mercy on my life. He was keep on telling this. But now he says, Lord, remember them, for they have defiled the priesthood. He is not talking about Sanballat. He is not talking about Tobiah. He is not talking about those who are not the priests of the Lord. He is talking about those who have received the priesthood from the high priest. And he says, thus cleansed I them from all strangers, and appointed the wards of the priests of the Levites, everyone in his business, the father's business, and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good. He finished the chapter by saying, remember me, O my God, for good. When we started this sermon of this particular chapter, I mentioned the way Nehemiah speaks to us. You can see the vessel speaks to the Creator, and you can see the Creator speaks through the vessel to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not this benefit. Nehemiah says, Lord, remember me for good. For good. Remember me, O my God, for good. God is good to those who believe He is good. Amen. Now, If this journey of Nehemiah ends with a note of cleansing the chamber, talking about what he did to the priesthood, was the outcome of the entire adversary. Whatever happened to Sanballat, Tobiah, whatever things those who do not know the revelation of God were not addressed, what happened to them in the very last chapter. Because what does it matter to you? What does it matter to me? The Lord is gracious. He can save anyone. Let's always believe on good things. But how the Lord dealt with the priesthood was clearly written. So what is the difference here? The life of Nehemiah started with cries, started with weeping, fasting, praying. And he asked the Lord, Lord, show me your grace, for I want to rebuild the wall. It's not him. The Lord wants to rebuild, and the vessel cried unto him. After that, the journey began. But the adversary entered the moment they saw someone is doing something welfare, something good for the children of God. When they saw that, they became angry, jealous, and they were grieving in their heart. Chapter 1 introduces Sanballat in verse 10, verse 11. How they reacted. Now, let's go to 2 Chronicles, as we haven't covered the life of Hezekiah before Sennacherib entered. And let's see how beautifully the Lord dealt the situation to glorify his name in the life of his children. Chapter 29, 2 Chronicles chapter 29. So far, these are the two things that we covered last Sunday. A form of godliness, they that creep into houses. Creep into houses. So what is the opposite word for creep? Upright. Amen? I walk upright into the house of the Lord. Because I am not someone to creep into the house of the Lord. Not just a church. Even when you walk into a place, a house of a brethren, we walk upright in the spirit. Now, let's have this in our heart. Start from verse 1, chapter 29. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. And he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Now, in the book of Nehemiah, the word doors were very important. Eliashib, high priest, he set some doors on a sheep gate. Then Eliashib, the priest, was deceived by Tobiah and comes with an evil. And Nehemiah, he also set up the doors after the wall was built. And we keep this word door in our heart. Verse 3 starts everything in reverse. Whatever we read in the book of Nehemiah, you will see things happening in reverse now, in the life of Hezekiah. But the entry point of adversary was the same. When something good happened, the adversary entered. But until then, there was no entry. Okay? That entry point was perfectly the same. But the sequence was exactly the reverse. I'll tell you why. You start from verse 3. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Now, let's write it so that we see the book of Nehemiah ended by saying the chamber was cleansed. Nehemiah commanded the priest to clean the chamber. Amen? And Hezekiah starts, the life of Hezekiah starts by verse 5. He says, sanctify yourself and the house. I told you it's very personal. Sanctification, the word sanctify yourself and the house of the Lord. Jesus prayed for himself before he prayed for others. The chapter is so beautiful, right? So now, this sanctification was given as an instruction. For what? Because he wanted to make sure to carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Carry forth. Look at the words used.
the filthiness out of the place.
What Nehemiah said? All the household items of Sobia, he took it and threw it out of the place. Then he commanded the Levites and all those children of God to clean the chambers. Amen? So Hezekiah starts his sanctification and he gives them a command. Whatever is filthy in the temple, in the place of the Lord, whatever is filthy, carry forth out of the holy place. So until it was thrown out, you cannot call it as a holy place. Correct? The Lord is holy. The Lord is light. In Him there is no darkness. If there is no Lord, then there is no holy place. If there is no dwelling of the Spirit of the Lord, then that place is a place, not a holy place. So only if this is done, carry forth the filthiness out, then this place can become the holy place. Amen? Both the stories is all about this. If you look at both the stories of Nehemiah and Hezekiah, it's all about this single word, holy place. Preserving the holy place for the Holy One to be with you, to be in you. Whatever happened outside the wall, destruction of enemies, exposing of Eliashib, doesn't matter if the place is not holy. It doesn't matter if the glory of the Lord is not in the temple. Now, let's continue to read this. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken Him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Backsliding. Turn their backs. When we say, Lord, I love you. Lord, you bless me through this pastor, this brother, this sister, this sermon, this song is so wonderful. We speak so many things. When a single storm comes and hits us, we leave the congregation and we say, Lord, help me, Lord, to find the strength to come back. But the Lord says, I am in you. I am your strength. I will revive you. I will restore you. The moment we believe, our strength will be renewed. But what is stopping us from taking that strength that is available in front of us is the belief. It's the belief, the walk that we take from ourselves to the place where our belief in the Lord is full for us to go and take the strength upon us. This is exactly what the enemy wants to hit. To make sure you don't walk there and take the strength that is there for you, that is reserved for you, that is your right. Because you are a child of God. You inherited His strength. You inherited His wisdom. You inherited His grace. You inherited His mercy. You are holding onto His love. The enemy wants to hit that confidence. He wants to instill fear, to have a separation from you and from the tabernacle. That is the only target of him, to make sure you are nothing but a place, but not a holy place. And this is exactly what happened to denomination. I will go to church on Sunday, holy place. I'm not holy, I'm not worthy, I'm a sinner. I'm not. I need someone to pray for me. Oh brother, pray for me. Sister, pray for me. I can't pray. God won't listen to me. I'm very weak. You are a holy place. Who told you that? The Lord says you are a tabernacle, the temple of Holy Ghost. What does it mean? Never let your flesh or your carnal mind or the enemy tell you, you are not holy. Indeed, we are not holy. But the Lord says, I am holy, be ye holy. Then where is the verse gone? You say, I am not holy without Him, but I will be holy with Him. For that reason, I will press on. I will go wherever He is. I will be there. Even if I'm bedridden, I will tell my brethren to carry me to be there where the fellowship of saints is going on. Holy place. This is exactly what was to be taken by Sennacherib and Sanballat, by Tobiah, by Eliashib, by all things that are disturbing you right now. Your unbelief, your weariness, your doubts, your confusion, your accusations, your mind that wants to find some reason to escape. Those are the Sennacheribs. Those are the Sanballats. Those are the Tobiahs. But do not become the Eliashib because you are the priest.
You can't tell the Lord, Tobia did this. The Lord said, no, you Eliashib, you did this to me. The Lord knows which was Eliashib, which was Tobia. He knows. You can't fool him. Eve was a creation of God made from Adam. Amen? Can the bride say, because of this serpent, I wanted to enter heaven, but this serpent was keep on deceiving me to the extent that I am deceived. Come on. It's a joke. It's a joke. Which serpent can come and drag you to hell when you are inside the mighty hand of God? Which serpent? Be strong and courageous in the grace in Christ Jesus. We always take grace as time, right? Remember, all of us, we say, Lord, thank you, Lord, for being gracious. You waited until I recover, until I stand upright, until I see you. Lord, thank you so much. It's not just a grace. The Bible says, be strong and be courageous in the grace in Christ Jesus Christ. If we don't, that grace that is available for us to take, if we don't, what happened to Eliashib will happen to you, will happen to me, will happen to all of us. Then we will be the fulfillment of the word saying that we defile the priesthood. The Lord called all of us priests. May the Lord bless us as we learn from Hezekiah and Nehemiah. We learn from the Lord. Because Hezekiah, even after he witnessed all of this, Hezekiah fell. Hezekiah went against God. Even after the Lord did all of this in his life, still Hezekiah went against the Lord. Because of what? Remember? Pride. And the Bible says, the Lord left him to try him to see what is in his heart. The Lord left him to try him to see what is in his heart. Do you know why, my brethren? If the Lord is completely in your heart, no one can come and fight with you. No one can come and disturb, because God is with you. But the moment the Lord leaves you, the moment the glory of the Lord leaves the temple, the darkness of the temple will be uncovered. The moment the flame put off, then the temple will see how dark I am. The moment the Lord saw Hezekiah fell because of pride, the Bible says God left him for a moment to try and see what he is having in his heart. By how? By seeing his life. By seeing the words he speaks. By seeing the thoughts that he generated in his heart, by seeing his actions we commit without him, will tell the Lord what Hezekiah was hiding all these years. Because the Lord used Hezekiah to clean the chambers, and the Lord used himself to clean Hezekiah. By doing so, he just left Hezekiah. If this wooden piece is Hezekiah, if the Lord is controlling Hezekiah, Hezekiah is going left and right, do all things that the Lord leads, and the Lord just take his hands off and just move away. And then Hezekiah says, Hezekiah will see how shaky he is, how weak he is. But the Bible said the Lord blessed him to recover. To recover. To recover. Because he is merciful. So what is the lesson that we are going to learn from Hezekiah, Nehemiah, Sanballat, Tobiah? I want all the names to our heart to take lesson from every one of them. Every one of them. There are no enemies for the children of God, only the lack of understanding. Let's read this. Also, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. You see what happened. They shut up the doors of the porch. When Shemaiah met Nehemiah, he told him, let's close all the doors of the tabernacle. Let's have a secret discussion. Enemies are coming. Let's have fear. Let's have fear. And here Hezekiah is doing the opposite. He's cleaning, commanding, instructing to make sure there is not a single burnt incense offering until the cleaning process is done. For he knows if he offers a sacrifice without cleaning the chamber, without cleansing the place, the Lord will punish him, strike him. For abomination has no room in the place of God. Because he wants our place to be called holy place. Remember, The word abomination will be there when the Lord wants to keep the place holy place. Now let's read this. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he had delivered them to trouble, to astonishment and to hissing, as you see with your own eyes. You can even see this today, you know, in your life. Hissing. Astonishment. We read this. Wine of astonishment was given to those who went against God. The wrath of the Lord was upon Judah because they could not offer any sacrifice in the holy place. Let's say we sing hundreds of songs. But if the Lord blesses us to sing only one song in His Spirit, only that song will be sung in the holy place. All the other song was not the sacrifices in the holy place. For He can't take it. He is holy. Now the sanctification, consecration was done by Hezekiah before Sennacherib entered the scene. But for Nehemiah, it was upside down. It was after Sanballat went and disturbed Nehemiah. Now let's go and learn why. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Captivity for this. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3. This verse. Creep into houses to go and take slaves. Captivity of innocent women. Those who? Those who are having a form of godliness. The earth was without form. Remember the first chapter of Genesis. Form. There is only one form, my dear brethren, for all of us. To conform to the image of God. There is no other form. No other form for us. Verse 10. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that His fierce wrath may turn away from us. Praise the Lord. Who is speaking? King Hezekiah is speaking in a prophetical way. He says, it is in my heart, because my heart is a chamber. I cleaned it. I gave it to my God. I gave it to the Lord because I'm doing His work. Because of that, something was instilled, deeply buried in the heart of King Hezekiah by the Lord. It is in my heart, the Lord put some blessed thought in my heart to make a covenant with Him so that His fierce, His wrath will turn away from us. Why he's talking about this? Even before the adversary entered. The Lord prepares His children. Amen? The Lord prepares His children even before the storm hits. Now he said, he's talking about covenant. He's talking about wrath of God. Verse 11, he's warning, my sons, be not now negligent. For the Lord hath chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, that ye should minister unto Him and burn incense. Praise the Lord. Burning incense is not that something that someone or anyone can do. Burning incense that is acceptable to the Lord, for God is a consuming fire, and to go and burn incense to Him, to offer sacrifice unto Him, we have to be in His Spirit, we have to be in His will, we have to be acceptable to His sight. If not, the very same fire that we burn in the name of sacrifice will be the very same fire that will put an end to our life. What happened to the 250 who stood with Korah? What happened to the two sons of Aaron? They were burning something. They were burning something that is not acceptable, not allowed as an abomination in the sight of the Lord. And that fire consumed them. That fire consumed them. Now read this. Then the Levite arose, Mahad the son of Amasai, and Joel the son of Azariah, and the sons of Kohathites, and of the sons of Merari, Kish the son of Abdi, and Azariah the son of Jehalil, and of the Jeshanites, Joah the son of Zimah, and Eden the son of Joah, and the son of Elizaphan, Shimri, and Jeiel, and of the sons of Asaph, Zechariah, and Mataniah, and of the sons of Heman, Zehiel, and Shimei, and of the sons of Jeduthun, Shemaiah, and Uzziel. And they gathered their brethren, and sanctified themselves, and came according to the commandment of the king, by the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. So, this instruction, carry forth the filthiness out of the place for cleanse the house of the Lord. to cleanse the house of the Lord. This is what Nehemiah did in the last chapter. Correct? He had to clean the house of the Lord by removing things that are not good to the sight of the Lord, by appointing things that are acceptable to the sight of the Lord. Cleansing. Cleansing before vindication. Cleansing before revival. Cleansing before acceptance. Cleansing before restoration. Cleansing even before offering sacrifice. That shows how much reverence, how much honor you show to the one who created you. That shows the fear of God that you have above many. As he was doing all of this, at the same time, the adversary started growing. Sanballat, all those enemies who came, they came when the goodness was shown. Now for Hezekiah, he's building, he's preparing by God's grace. You see the entry of Sennacherib later. Verse 16. Only after this, the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord. What is the inner part of your house, my dear brethren? Inner part of you. The priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord. After that, they did cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord, and the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Look at verse 16. Whatever King Hezekiah commanded, verse 16, the Levites fulfilled it. Now apply it personally in an intimate way in the spirit of the Lord by thinking those six things that we read today, and take this verse and talk about your very own heart. The children of God went into the inner part of their heart, which is the house of the Lord, to cleanse it, for the Spirit examineth all, for the Spirit can tell you who you are, where you are, where do you stand, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord, into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites, the sons of God, the servants of God, the vessels of God, took it to carry it out abroad into the brook of Kidron, throw it like Moses, how he took the sandals, throw it away from the holy place where he was standing. Because God told him, the place where you stand is holy. Take your sandals off. Now, verse 17 is when they began. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to do the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified in the house of the Lord in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month they made an end. They went into Hezekiah the king and said, until then they did not go to the king. They went to the king of Hezekiah and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of the burnt offering with all the vessels thereof, and the shewbread table with all the vessels thereof. Until they can say that word to the king, they were working, preparing, waiting, fulfilling the commandment that was given to them. For us, we are doing the same. The King of Kings, the only King, has given us something to do, has told us something to do, and we are doing it. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. Only then they say, behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. Now, King Hezekiah, he is going to the house of the Lord to sacrifice. Amen? It's going to be an atonement for Israel. But before the atonement, he had spent time in preparation. In preparation for sanctification, for consecration, and for cleansing. Cleansing. Carry forth the filthiness out of the place so that you will become a holy place. Cleanse the house of the Lord. These two things are very important for us to remain as a vessel of the one who created us. For the glory of the Lord cannot dwell in the place of filthiness. And our thoughts is our filthiness. The Spirit can examine, can clean, if we allow. Or else I can tell the Spirit, I am closed for today. You can't enter my door. Your door. The Bible says, open your mouth wide for the Lord to fill you in. Amen? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Open your mouth wide. Give the full chamber of your heart to me, for me to fill you. If not, talk about wall, talk about the palace, talk about Sennacherib, talk about the enemies, talk about the destruction, talk about the whole Bible. Doesn't matter. If that wall of fire that surrounds the city, it surrounds the heart of the very single soul first, before even talk about surrounding the city. Salvation is very personal, it's very intimate. It was given to you. God did not give your salvation to me to pass it to you. It was given to you by Him, through Him, in Him, for Him, to you. Nobody can carry your cross. They can share your burden for a moment. The same way the Lord hide His face for a moment for you to see His wrath. Then in His everlasting mercy, He returned back to show grace to you. For a moment, you are allowed to share the burden. Not to cast away your burden forever. One of my friends was telling me always, I always go before the Lord for the Lord to bless me. Then I can say, I lift up all my burdens to Calvary. Now I am free. I am so happy. I have nothing to cry about. I am free. It's not the life of a Christian. I told him, you are wrong. Yes, the Lord will bless us to lift our burdens at Calvary so that He will have space to put new burdens in you. Are you trying to escape from His burden? Fellowship of His suffering, then what does it mean? You are not here to escape from His burden. You are here to lift up the burden when He wants you to lift up the burden. For the Lord to make some space in your shoulder to put new burden. If there is no soul burden, then why we need to have a church? Why we must have a church if there is no soul burden? Tell me. We can go back to our home. If there is no soul yet to be saved, why there must be a ministry? If there is no compassion, if there is no soul burden, what is ministry? Nothing. If there is no preaching gospel to those who are not in the gospel, if there is no sharing the burden, joining the gathering to press on together in our fall, in our strength, in our weakness, in our joy, in our tears, then what is the point of saying, Lord, you lifted all my burdens, I'm so free. But you are called prisoner of Christ. What freedom you are talking about? The Lord wants all of us to carry the yoke that He wants to carry. When you do not carry His yoke, you will feel weary. When you carry His yoke, you will feel weary. What? It's contradicting. No. Look very carefully. If the Lord wants you to do certain things and you do it, you feel tired. Like Moses, Lord told Moses, lift your hands up and don't lower your hands, okay? You need to pray. Until Joshua defeat the enemy, I want you to keep your arms lifted. And Moses said, done. But the Lord said, Aaron and Hur, go and stand next to him. He can't do it alone. You are going to share his burden. Jethro told Moses, Moses, what you are going to do is not easy. Appoint elders for you. 72. Let them carry your burden. Now, take this and apply in our life. Whenever a storm hits you, you are broken, you cry. But you know what the mind will tell you? Hey, don't show your weakness to anyone. Don't cry. Don't let anyone to see your tears. You are strong in the Lord. Keep yourself isolated. Keep yourself secret book. Don't share your burden. The Lord says, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. Did He say that or not? But still the Lord said, you will suffer for persecution. You will suffer with my fellowship of sufferings. Then both the words look very different, right? On one side the Lord says, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. On other side, the Lord has said, you can't finish the race without sharing the burden. You must share the burden. You must live your life together. If you try to do it alone, then the yoke of the Lord will be a burden that you can't carry. The burden of the Lord will be something that you can't even bear it with joy. But still, we will go through pain, suffering, persecution, because our Lord and Savior, He was not smiling in Garden of Gethsemane. He was crying until the blood came out from His sweat. He was crying. Can we say, oh, Jesus, my Savior, my yoke is easy, burden is light? That is not. Godly burden must be felt in a godly way. Do you hear me? Godly burden must be felt in a godly way, not in this form of godliness. We are called to carry His burden according to His will, according to His will, according to His pleasure. And that burden, He will bless us to lift up by sharing with His vessels, by sharing with His brethren, with His family, sharing the burden with one another and fulfill the love of Christ. And what does that verse mean? My yoke is easy when you see Him in His fellowship. My burden is light when you gather in His name. Our life, our journey is not alone. Can never be completed alone. He is with us. He will be with us in the congregation of us carrying the big burden together. When one brother breaks one leg, some other brother would have gained strength in the arm. They will carry. When one brother's knee is broken, some other sister, their knees would have been strengthened. They would carry. We will press on together. Our boat will sail through the storm together. Together. That's exactly what Nehemiah was telling, what Hezekiah was telling. See very closely. Both of them, they did not single out themselves from the congregation. They put themselves in the center, willing to bear anything, to lose anything, the same way Moses did. That is what the vessel of God will do. Will go to the extent to be the fool, to be completely shamed by the world, to be destroyed by the world, for the sake of His name. For they know the name of the Lord is written on the foreheads of the children. If you say, Lord, I will die for your namesake, then His name is written on your brother, on your sister. Are you willing to die for your brother's sake? We don't even ready to lose our ego for our brethren. Forget about dying. That is the death He is looking for. That is the death He is looking for. To carry out the filthiness of our thought, our mind, our everything that pollutes your mind. All the enemies that are trying to invade your world. Tell them you are a child of God. You are the holy place of God. You are the house of the Lord. And you will carry out the filthiness out of your heart. Throw it away. When you do that, the six things you will see in your life. I assure you in the word of the Lord, you will see the six things in your life and it will yield virtue and praise to His name through your life. Let's read this. This atonement was done by Hezekiah after the cleansing took place. Verse 25 to 31. Brother Clement, please read this for us. 25 to 36. I want to write.
And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with string instruments, and with harps, according to the commandment of David, of God, the king's seer, and of Nathan, the prophet. For thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the instrument and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded them to offer the burnt offering on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began, with the trumpets and with the instrument of David, king of Israel. So all the assembly worshipped. The singers sang, the trumpeters sounded.
Amen.
All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshipped.
Amen.
Moreover, King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and Esther, the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped.
Amen.
Then Hezekiah answered and said, now that you have consecrated yourself to the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. So the assembly brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a willing heart brought burnt offerings. And the number of burnt offerings which the assembly brought was 70 bulls, 100 rams, and 200 lambs. And all these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. The consecrated things were 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few. so that they could not skin all the burnt offerings. Therefore, their brethren, the Levites, stopped them until the work was ended and until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more diligent in sanctifying themselves than the priests.
Amen.
Also, the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings and with thick offerings for every burnt offering.
Yes.
So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order.
Amen.
Then Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced that God had prepared the people since the event took place so suddenly.
So suddenly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shalom, brother. Verse 35 says, so the service of the Lord was set in order. Amen. This is chapter 29 we're talking about. Hezekiah's life was extended for 15 more years, for the Lord wanted him to set the house in order. Remember? Then what does this verse mean? Think. If the service of the Lord was set in order, then what does other verse mean? We'll go there. Continue verse 36. Hezekiah rejoiced and all the people that God had prepared, the people, for the thing was done suddenly. The thing was done suddenly. Suddenly, it's not like something they were expecting, feeling weary over time. Because God is not here to fulfill your satisfaction. He's not here to meet your expectation. He's not here to feed your mind. He do things according to His time. And that time only known unto Him. For His children, they will wait patiently with joy. For those who can't, they will go disquietness. But now, suddenly, in this verse that we just received, it mainly talks about praise and worship, singing, right? All about songs. They were praising the Lord. So what is sequence? Sanctification, consecration, preparation, atonement, praise, worship. The service of the Lord was set in order. Amen? After the order was set, Hezekiah rejoiced. For what? God prepared the people. Who prepared the people? Not the king. Not Hezekiah. Hezekiah said, God had prepared the people. But Hezekiah said, it is in my heart to make a covenant with the God of Israel so that His fierce wrath will turn away. Hezekiah said it was in his mind heart. But did he say, Hezekiah rejoiced because he had prepared the people? If he had said that, then we are not reading a beautiful chapter after this. Hezekiah said, he was rejoicing. He said, God had prepared the people. God had prepared the people. Who I am. For the thing was done suddenly. Then verse 30 is where he proclaimed. Look at the sequence. Sanctification, consecration, cleansing, atonement, sacrifice, praising, worshipping, rejoicing, then proclamation. You can only proclaim His faith when you are filled with the joy of the Lord. That is your confidence. That is your boldness. That is your bravery. That is the courage that we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. Be strong and courageous in the grace that is in Christ Jesus Christ. Now verse 30. Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters. How beautiful it is. On one side, Hezekiah was writing letters. Those letters were filled with words of life, words of warning, even with words of chastening. We will read later. But for the same Hezekiah, he was receiving letters from Tobiah, non-stop letters, accusing the congregation, accusing the work of the Lord, criticizing, finding faults. That's what he was doing to Hezekiah. But Hezekiah was not new to this. He himself was a letter man. He himself was a letter man. He was sending letters. So whatever he saw, he read some insult. It's fine. Jesus said, offense will come, but woe unto him through whom the offense comes. Happened exactly to Sanballat and Sennacherib, to Eliashib, the priest who defiled his priesthood. Now read this. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. Now, Hezekiah has started doing something. And let's read from verse 7 where he become more of a vessel that is nothing but the voice of the Lord speaking plain. He says, and be not ye like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespass against the Lord God of their fathers, And who therefore gave them up to desolation as ye see? The hissing noise as ye see. The desolation as ye see. The rebellion as ye see. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary which he hath sanctified forever. What is the meaning of sanctified forever? Then why Hezekiah, David, Solomon, Nehemiah had to sanctify? If the Lord says sanctified forever. The life is there. The revelation is there. Those who seek, they shall find it. Amen. Everything is hidden in plain sight. His glory, his holiness is there. But when there is darkness, when there is filthiness, the glory of the Lord will leave the temple. For you to gain it, you clean, deny yourself, know yourself, and the glory of the Lord will touch. If you can cry unto him with a broken heart, not with the heart of deceit, saying that, you know, my Lord, do you know my friend whom I serve, Jesus Christ, he's very kind, you know, he's very loving, to the extent that he don't even know I'll do this again and again and again. He will keep on forgiving me. Oh yes, the Lord burnt the sons of Aaron, the same Lord you're talking about. No one can escape from the righteous judge. No one. If at all you escape, be scared that you are not smote by the angel of the Lord. Why the Lord did not warn you? It is even more scarier than being struck by the Lord's angel. You know how I prayed when I was a child? Lord, if I do something, hit me hard so that I won't have the strength to do it again. Seriously. Usually I used to be scared when I was a boy to pray like this. You know, it's a very strong prayer, right? Hit me hard so that I won't have the strength to do it again. But now I can pray with joy. Hit me hard, break into pieces, do whatever you want. I just do not want to profane your name. That's it. My life is complete. Praise the Lord. But what we do? Oh Lord, I want to glorify your name. I just want to go and show how like a heroic person I am. I'm going to save the people of Israel. I'm going to save the church. I'm going to save this and that so that everybody know my faith, my name. I will go and keep on reminding them, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. It's not serving the Lord. Stephen was not called apostle. Do you know that? Many people think Stephen was an apostle. If you go and ask Stephen, well, who are you? He will say, for me, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So where is his spirit? Oh, people are stoning me dead. I just gave it back to him because I belong to him. Then we sing the song, oh, I belong to you, Jesus. We sing the song, but do we sing it with the heart? What does it mean? Your spirit belongs to him. Give it back to him. For it was originally belongs to him. He gave it to you. Give it back to him. Reconciliation. Give it back to him. How do you give it back to him? In a filthy way. He can't take it. He can't touch filthiness. He is holy. Before he comes with a rod in his hand in the White House, our grace period will come to an end. He will come with a different name, my brethren. His name is Savior until the grace period is there. When he comes to judge, he is not a Savior anymore. Do not forget that. He goes by names. That is why we have his name of redemption, salvation, Savior, until the grace is given to you. The moment the grace period is done, you cannot find strength, you cannot find courage, because the grace is in Christ Jesus. Then the name changes, you are done. Revelation 19:12 says, no one knows his name. Read this. I want you all to read this, so that you don't take his name lightly, for no one can utter his name. 19 chapter 12, verse 12. Read from verse 11, because his name is the righteous judge. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Tell me, where do you find grace and mercy in this verse? Tell me, where do you find grace, mercy, loving kindness in this verse? He will come to judge and make war. His eyes were flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. If the name of the Lord can be understood, there won't be any divisions. You would never see denominations. The Jews would not be blinded. Everything is in his name. if we can understand His name. Yeshua. Yahweh is salvation. But once the salvation is done, what is His name? The righteous judge who will come with for judging and make a war, He will come with wrath. The Bible says He will come with His winepress of wrath. Amen? Now we are learning from the children of God how we can escape from what is about to come. So let's read a few verses before I close. Chapter 30, we are on verse 7. I will read from verse 8. Now be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourself unto the Lord and enter into His sanctuary, which He has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of His wrath may turn away from you. Now you understand why Moses was able to turn away the wrath of the Lord from the children of Israel. Because the word is spoken here. Yield, enter His sanctuary, sanctify, then the fierceness can be turned away from you and those who are with you. For if you turn again unto the Lord, and your brethren, your children, shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land, for the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away His face from you, if ye return unto Him. Repent and return before the Lord shut the gates, for no man can open. Before the Lord shut the gates. If the door of your heart is not open for Him, the door of the new holy city Jerusalem will also not be opened for us. Now, verse 10. So the poor passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn. Hallelujah. They laughed them to scorn. For what? For speaking the glory of the Lord, for doing good things to the children of the Lord, for sacrificing, sanctifying, consecrating, preparing the house for the praise and worship. They were laughing to scorn. Blessed is the man who sitteth not in ungodly counsel, who walketh not in ungodly counsel, who sitteth not in the scornful. They were laughing at the children of God. And mocked them. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh, of Zebulun, humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Put your name in that verse. Humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Do you really think it is easy to stay in Jerusalem? If it is so easy to stay inside Jerusalem, the whole world will be inside Jerusalem. My brethren, the new holy city Jerusalem, that is surrounded by the wall of fire, where the glory of the Lord stand in the midst of them. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit, only those can enter Jerusalem and they can stay. The moment your mind is haughty with some pride, you will be spit out. For the filthiness will be carried forth out of the place, for the place shall remain holy. For the Lord said, sanctified forever. The word is spoken. So when you say, Lord, I want to remain in Jerusalem, and the Lord says, be humble, obey with willingness in my word, you shall eat the fruit of the good land. Nevertheless, verse 12, also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of God. In Nehemiah, when he was building the wall, the Bible says the builders of the wall, they had one mind, one heart, to do what the Lord wanted them to do. Praise the Lord as we will continue next week by God's grace. Shalom. May the Lord speak to our hearts. Let's remember the words. Having a form of godliness, creeping into houses. These two words are reflected in the life of Hezekiah when the priest sanctified themselves and the Levites also sanctified themselves. Remember? There was a comparison made. Did you notice it? In a very subtle way. And that word was 34. Verse 29, 34. Read this prayerfully. But the priests were too few. I repeat. The priests were too few. So that they could not slay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore, their brethren, the Levites, did help them. till the work was ended, until the other priests had sanctified themselves. Now read it very carefully. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. What? What is the word, my brethren? Upright. Upright. Not creeping into the houses. Every time we walk into a house of a brother or a sister for a gathering or for a discussion or for prayer, for fellowship, in a church, praise or worship, sermon, whatever that we do in the name of the Lord, we shall walk upright, sanctified, consecrated, to be filled by His Spirit with humbleness and meekness, to glorify His name alone. For you must decrease, He must increase. If that is reversed, you are an abomination. I am an abomination. That is nothing but having a form of godliness, creeping into houses, not walking upright. May the Lord teach us for us to be upright in His sight. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and pray. Our Lord, our God, we were all lame, crawling outside the beautiful gate. You touched all our lives by Your grace and mercy, Your loving kindness, Your agape love. You speak to all of us, You reveal the truth, and You blessed us to be healed in soul, in spirit, in body, as a whole, to have the mind of Christ. Thank You, Lord, for all the wonderful blessings, Your servants who touched our lives. The lame that was healed helped Peter and John, helped the church. And we are all healed, O Lord, to walk into the beautiful slate. Lord, may You bless us to stand firm with our testimony, to stand upright. For the watchman in the book of Ezekiel, we read, "The Spirit entered into me, set me upon my feet." May You bless all of us to walk upright into the houses, into the courts of the Lord, to be sanctified, to be consecrated, for the place where we stand is a holy place. May You bless us, O Lord, to glorify Your name alone, to lose everything for You, to be a shameful fool to the whole world, for Your name to be glorified in our life. Help us to be willing. Help us to have the strength to deny ourselves. May You teach us, as we want to continue with the journey, with our dear brethren, with our dear servants of God, with the dear, beautiful, blessed inspirations that we learn from Hezekiah and Nehemiah. Teach us, Lord, for there are a lot to learn from the fountain of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Shalom, brethren. God bless you all.